Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to chime in, you can do so, 913-586-7965. We got a little bit of a runway here that if you want to call in, you want to let us know what you think, now is the time to do so. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll kind of go around some of the national conversations and talking points around the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also talk about Harrison Butker. I feel like on this show, we just talk about the same five things. And I want to talk about different things. I want to talk about new things. I want Harrison Butker to stop being a topic on the show. I don't want to spend time every week breaking down the kicker for the team. I really don't. But he continues to find himself in the news for one thing or another, a missed extra point, a missed field goal, of illegal procedure. He continues to find himself in the news. So, Rob, take this phone call here. We'll take some phone calls in this segment. If you guys want to chime in, 913-586-7965. I want to play this audio for you guys. Now, Rob told me that this is exclusive audio. He said only we have this. If you remember, back in week one, at the end of the game, Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones got into a little bit of an argument. And you remember Drew Tranquil was mad at Chris Jones for losing containment, for not doing his assignment. Justin Herbert then ran for 17 yards on a 3rd and 14, and that ended the game. Rob told me that we have exclusive audio that breaks down what they were arguing about.
What I got to say you really don't want to hear, because honesty ain't too high up on your people priority list, right?
Honesty? You want honesty? All right, honestly, I think you're nothing. Nothing but a pure waste of God-given talent. You don't listen to nobody, man. Not even Doc or Boone. Shiver push on the line every time, man. You blow right past them. Push them, pull them, do something. You can't run over everybody in this league. And every time you do, you leave one of your teammates hanging out to dry. Me in particular.
Why should I give a hoot about you, huh? Or anybody else out there? Nobody plays, yourself included. I'm supposed to wear myself out for the team? What team? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look out for myself. And I'm going to get mine.
I mean, that pretty much sums up what I'm seeing. You guys seeing anything different? I'm seeing a defensive lineman that's out to get his and his only. Can I give you guys a stat really quick? Let me just give you guys a stat. We'll get to the phone lines. I just want to give you guys a stat. Did you know that so far this season, this is a true story, you can look this up. So far this season, Chris Jones has 7 tackles. It's week 5. We're heading into week 6. Chris Jones has 7 tackles so far this season. You might be thinking, oh, well, okay, maybe that's a lot. He plays D tackle. Maybe that's a lot. Jamar Chase has 5. This week, Jamar Chase had more tackles than Chris Jones. I'm not lying to you. Look it up. This week, Jamar Chase, who plays wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, he had more tackles than Chris Jones. I'm telling you, if you have been complaining about the Chiefs' defensive line and their inability to get pressure on the other team's quarterback and you think they've been inconsistent, there is only one play that you need to bring before the court. It's the final defensive play of the game. It highlights everything. It's Chris Jones giving up on the play. It's Chris Jones not penetrating, not committing any pressure. It's the rest of the defensive line not being anywhere near Trevor Lawrence. It's Trevor Lawrence getting up. It's him breaking a tackle. If you are looking for a play that embodies why people are frustrated about their defensive line, that's your play. That's it. I mean, there's a group of these in these plays. Hey, why have you guys spent so much time talking about Harrison Butker? Here's the evidence. Look, this is why we've spent so much time talking about Harrison Butker. Well, hey, what about the D-line? You guys are kind of hard on him. Here's the play. Here's why we gave Chamari Connor barbecue chicken alert. Look at this play. Look. A lot of the things that have gone wrong so far and how they find themselves at 2-3 and how they find themselves like really in a dogfight in the division, in the AFC, how they find themselves potentially in a must-win situation at home against maybe the best team in the National Football League, a lot of it is their own effort. I don't want to take anything away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not calling their play fluky. I'm giving them their respect. Yesterday was about the Chiefs not finishing, not closing, not executing, not going out there and winning that football game yesterday. You had a 14-0 lead. You got a 14-0 lead with an offense that is clearly turning the corner and a defense that we think is top five. You got to figure out a way to bring that home yesterday, and they just didn't. They did not bring it home. Let's go to the phone lines, 913-586-7965. Andy called into the show today. Hey, Andy.
Hey, T-Dog. How's it going?
Doing good, man.
Oh, okay. So I got a couple points here I want to make. I feel like that the blitzes just aren't as good, maybe because we're missing Justin Reed, because we don't really have a guy that we can trust to drop into coverage and bring like Trent McDuffie in on a blitz. And then my second one is I feel like the Chiefs and the Royals play the same brand of sport, as in the offense is good, the defense can't get it going, the pitching is great, but the offense can't hit, and it seems like it's about the same thing with the Chiefs. Next week against Detroit, I could see the Chiefs 7-7, defense plays great, and then losing by 3 at the end.
Andy, I appreciate the phone call. You're certainly right when it comes to the blitzes and ability to dial up pressure. I guess, at least for me, when it comes to the defensive line, Rob, and I want your thoughts on this, is at least I thought, and maybe I was wrong in thinking that, I didn't know if they needed to dial those plays up as much because of the resources that they've spent up front. We all spent the summer really padding this defense on the back. You got a future Hall of Famer in Chris Jones. You just gave George Karlaftis all of this money. Like, the hope and expectation was that George was ready to take that next step. That the double team pressure that Chris Jones gets on the other side, you're now talking about one-on-one. Charles Aminihu, you brought him back on a one-year deal. Mike Dana has one pressure this season, not in this one individual game. They have played five games. Mike Dana has one pressure this season. Dana's a guy that you're counting on. I think more than anything, if we really want to talk about who they potentially miss, I think they missed Rashawn Wharton. I don't think they missed Justin Reed. I mean, it'd be great if you had Justin Reed, but if you were telling me right now that one of those guys could come back to the team, who was more important? It was Tershawn Wharton. We're talking about a guy last year in Tershawn Wharton that had 8.5 sacks last year. I mean, that's a big-time pass rusher that you had last season. Great season. Got himself a nice contract with the Carolina Panthers. A guy who had 7-8 sacks last year, you remove him from the defense, you were expecting Charles Aminihu to pick up that slack. You were expecting Mike Dana to be able to pick up that slack. Maybe when it happened, I think we were all kind of patting them on the back and saying how good of a move it was that they brought back Derek Nnadi. The fact that they were willing to let Derek Nnadi go, the Jets basically said, we don't think he can play for us. Here, we'll just give him back to you. Give us a 7th-round pick. That should have been a sign right there. Hey, maybe everything wasn't as good on the defensive line as we thought. Another player, Rob, that they potentially could have missed, and they maybe mishandled this thing, is Mike Pinnell. Just having Mike Pinnell in the middle, having him eat up space, having him free up room for everybody else. Maybe they ended up playing this thing a little bit incorrectly. That you and I take full responsibility. I have probably been at the front of this with anybody. I spent a lot of time criticizing the running back room. We should have spent that time talking about the defensive line, because out of the two units, I think you can argue, especially given the resources that they've spent, their defensive line has been far more disappointing than the running back room. They didn't spend any money on running back. You got 2 7th-round running backs. One of them is in the end of his final year. Elijah Mitchell is in witness protection. I've never seen him before. I'm not even sure if he's a real person. And then you got Kareem Hunt back on a one-year, $2 million deal. You could probably add up their whole running back room. They probably make less per game than what Chris Jones does combined. They probably do. So they didn't really spend anything on running back. It's kind of one of those things, you get what you pay for. They spent a lot of money on that defensive line. They're not getting the productivity that you expected from a team that spent those resources.
I feel like your Tershawn Wharton point is a great one. And I know we've been hard on Chris Jones today because his effort on that final Jags offensive play, it does make you want to pull your hair out. I will give Chris Jones a little bit of slack here. The Next Gen Stats ESPN has, they flashed this up at one point during the game, that Chris Jones getting double teamed more last night than he ever had all season. That is a trend that has been happening all of this year. That's why I'm frustrated with the D-line. Chris Jones is getting eliminated, which is frustrating in of itself. But I was maybe wrong because I credited the Chiefs. Hey, that's a really good contract you gave George Karloftis. You basically gave him Greg Rousseau's contract. I watched Greg Rousseau on Sunday Night Football against the Patriots. He made plays. Has anyone seen George Karloftis this year? I believe he has a sack. It came in the Ravens game. So let's put an asterisk by that because the Ravens game was just a different beast. Charles Omenihu, this show said he might be in a contract year. Is the contract year undefeated?
I said that.
Well, the contract year is whooping up on Charles Omenihu this season. Lying. Contract year is flexing over Charles Omenihu. They did walk on Mike Pinnell, thinking they had Omar Norman Lott, who... I know he had a sack in the Eagles game where Jalen Hurts ran into him, but Omar Norman Lott has not been that good for this team. And Felix Anudike Uzomah wasn't good, then he got hurt. So I'm not letting that be an excuse. Like, they have poured tons of resources into that D-line. I'm not even mentioning Ashton Gelati, who they tell me all the time, man, he's a really good player. I never see him make a play either. We should now pivot, you're right, from running back hate to D-line hate, because it's an expensive room that gets no production. None.
You know what? Let's actually take a break here. I know we're up against it. I would say some of this is on me. I have been focused on the wrong player. I'll explain what I mean. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to get to the national perception here coming up in a bit. We got open phone lines. If you want to chime in, 913-586-7965. We've been taking a lot of calls today. I want to continue to take calls. I want you guys to be heard today. I want you to give your thoughts on the Chiefs 2-3 stretch. Someone on the text line just sent this out. Come on, fellas. I think you guys are being a little over top on the defensive line. They have been stout against some really good running backs, and the pressure rate has been average. Chris Jones is overpaid. He continues to not have rush lane integrity and rushed himself out of position. The room as a whole is okay, but he's struggling. He's their best player. He's their best player. If Chris Jones is struggling, Mike Dana is struggling, Charles Omenihu is struggling, you got to tell me then how the room as a whole is okay. Yes, they have done a good job against running backs. They struggle to get consistent pressure on the quarterback. This is where I would counter if you think that I'm a little bit too hard on the defensive line. This is, I'll completely blame myself here for this one. I know you guys don't believe me. I think I was right about Travis Kelce before anybody else was right about Travis Kelce. I think it was pretty clear to see when the decline was starting to happen for Travis Kelce. I think I was first. But I would say that I was blinded by it on the offensive side because it's a lot easier to see and to track and I have been slow to see it on the defensive side of things. I looked this up because I was curious, because I feel like this was a very big pivotal moment in his career. Do you guys remember the final game of the season in 2023? And you remember that the Chiefs basically let Chris Jones go out there and do whatever he needed to go get a sack. You guys remember this? Chris Jones had missed all of training camp, missed the first game of the season, and they had incentivized his contract in a way to allow him an opportunity to get some of that money back if he could go get one sack in the game. That's all he needed to do was get one sack. You guys remember this? Do you guys remember how long it took him to get that one sack? You got to think, that is all he's trying to do in this game. He's not trying to stop the run. It doesn't matter if the Chiefs win or lose this game. They didn't play any other starters. This was Chris Jones. Go get a sack. He couldn't get a sack in the first half of the game. You remember? Because we thought maybe they were going to take him out. And then they let him play deep into the third quarter. And I think it was, hey, if you don't get a sack by the end of the third quarter, you had your time. It's over. And then he finally got the sack and he got off the field. I feel like in hindsight, that really should have been a sign of how long it took him to get that sack, how much of a struggle it was for him to get that sack, and how that was kind of a foreshadow since then. I looked this up during the break because I was genuinely curious. The Chiefs have played 27 games since that moment. 27. Chris Jones has 7 sacks since then. He has 7. This is a guy that you paid big time dollars to not only help you stop the run, which he's a part of that, but you also paid him to help you get after the quarterback. He is still, or at least should be, your number one primary pass rusher on your team. He's still all of those things. But if your number one guy isn't getting consistent pressure, any one of those, and we're talking about a guy who in 2023, so that year, he had 10.5 sacks. The season before that, in 2022, you could argue that he was the second best defensive lineman in the entire league behind Aaron Donald. He came in third in defensive player of the year voting. He had 15.5 sacks. So we've gone from 15.5 sacks to 10.5 sacks. Last year, he got 5. So far, through the first 5 games of the season, he has 1 sack so far this season. So we're talking about, at least right now, maybe he has a big game where he gets 2 or 3 of them. He trends to a very similar pace. This is almost identical of what happened on the offensive side with Travis Kelce, where it was clear that he was a step slower. It was obvious he had lost athleticism, burst. He just wasn't that same pass catcher that he was anymore. I think that same thing started to happen with Chris Jones, and it's not as easy to see because it's on the defensive side than on the offensive side. But, I mean, it's hard to argue the last 27 games. This is counting postseason. He has 7.5 sacks over those games. He's not nearly as disruptive as he was before. And this defense, you either need the young guy to step up in George Karlaftis the same way that you needed on the offensive side. You needed Xavier Worthy. You needed Rashee Rice. You needed those young guys to step up. You need the exact same thing on the defensive side. You need Karlaftis to go be a dog. You need him to turn into Max Crosby. You need him to turn into one of those pass rushers. But right now, this team, they really rely on Chris Jones to be that same disruptive force, and that's just not what he is at this stage in his career.
And again, I'm not trying to bail out Chris Jones, because I saw the game last night, I saw the final play last night, I get all those things. And those stats, they are alarming. I do think some of what the Chiefs' game plan was, and hey, what that old Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a game plan until they get punched in the face. But their game plan when they signed Chris Jones was, if he stops being a disruptive, if they D-line focuses on him, other people can be disruptive forces. And the thought was, even in when he's 31, 32, 33, he can beat a man-to-man situation when he becomes the second or third type of threat on that D-line. I believe Brett Veach thought that George Karlaftis was going to take a step and ascend to the best pass rusher on the team while Chris Jones slowly declined. And they would have a good 1-2 combo. And I'm not trying to bail out Chris Jones, but how much of those stats are because no one around him has been productive in that timeline? We talked about last year Karlaftis, and he's kind of catching a lot of my ire here, but you were the one that said it. It took until Charles Omenihu came back from injury before you really saw Karlaftis take a step forward last year. This year, I know Karlaftis has a sack and his win pressure rate or whatever, advanced analytics are solid, but I don't see him making plays. And Chris Jones, again, next-gen stats showed it last night. He's getting double-teamed all the time, and ain't no one else doing anything. And that includes, I believe, a third-round pick in Ashton Gelati. That includes a second-round pick in Omar Norman Lott, although I know he didn't play last night. A coveted free agent, an expensive DN. Like, the Chiefs have put at least resources and money around him to the fact where it's like, hey, if you're not going to be the singular disruptive force anymore, like those stats indicate, someone else can pick up the slack. Absolutely no one has picked up the slack while he has slowly regressed, which happens to 32-year-olds.
No, you're right. And this is where I think, I don't know if reasonable minds can disagree on this one. Text line 913-586-7965. Then you guys have to be willing to say one of these two things. And I feel like the text line doesn't want to at least admit one of these two things. I'll read this text as my explanation. C-Dot, I agree with you somewhat, but he has no help. The opposing team doesn't have to worry about another guy getting to the passer other than Spags blitzing. So either one of these two things then have to be true. Either we are seeing a clear decline in Chris Jones, or they messed up tremendously by giving George Karlaftis all of that money. I mean, they gave George Karlaftis a big-time deal less than 2 months ago that I remember everybody back in July praising, in Veach we trust, it's smart to get these deals early, you got to take care of these guys. George Karlaftis signed a four-year, $93 million, $62 million guarantee deal in July of this year. So one of the two have to be true. If he doesn't have any help, then they missed on a contract. Then it can't be in Veach we trusted. Or Chris Jones is declining. It's one of the two. I guess it could technically be both, but we can't say he doesn't have any help when I just saw them give somebody $60 million guaranteed 3 months ago. And they brought back Charles Omenihu. And they got Mike Dana. They got enough there to have a pretty good defensive line. Other than their offensive line, there's not a place on their team that they've spent more money on. I guess quarterback, but they haven't spent money at running back. They haven't spent money at wide receiver. They haven't spent money at corner. They haven't spent money at safety. They've spent money on their offensive line and defensive line. The offensive line is improving. The offensive line has been very good the last 2 weeks, trending in a good direction. Josh Simmons is playing well. Kingsley Suamataia, no complaints about the way that he's played. Juwan Taylor, penalty free. Their offensive line is ascending and getting better and improving. I don't know if you can say that right now about their defensive line.
I'll say this, and I think no matter what side of the coin you fall on, either it's Chris Jones is regressing and he's not disruptive and that's a problem, or B, the other guys aren't picking up the slack and he's getting double and triple teamed. Either way,
and really quick, sorry, can I, really problems. Quick, I'm sorry to cut you off here. You know what? We're doing that thing we did with
that's the Frank
with
Clark Frank thing. Clark.
That's
yeah.
What we're now 100%. Doing the Frank Clark thing. You remember whenever Frank Clark, it was obvious he's getting double and triple teamed. Why would you be double and triple teaming Chris Jones right now? Tell me why you would be doing that right now.
I mean, to be fair, again, I'm not trying to. It's the Frank Clark thing, but I think that it's
you
a
know
different.
It's the Frank Clark. You remember we were doing 100%. That? That was a wild time.
I think it's different.
We were treating Frank Clark like he was like he was Green Bay Packer Reggie White there for 6 months until we finally realized, hey, maybe he ain't good.
I think the difference is that D line had Chris Jones, who I believe was still on a rookie contract or still on a relatively cheap contract. George Karlaftis is expensive, and if Chris Jones ain't getting there, let's point to their $60 million man, and he ain't getting there either.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
And my point was, to your point about Veach we trust, no matter what side of the coin you fall on, you could say Veach messed up the D line. Either A, you were on this side. Chris Jones is regressing, he's not a disruptive force. He is the problem on the defensive line. Well, you can't cut him the next 2 years because of his contract. Or B, you are on the text line right now, who falls a little bit more into my camp. Hey, Chris Jones can only do so much. He is one man playing D tackle. And clearly, they circle his name on the whiteboard, the opponents do before every game. Where are the other guys? Well, Karlaftis' contract is looking not so great. And I was someone who, hand up, I'll take responsibility for this. In July, when he got signed, I applauded Veach. It's 4 games, sample size, blah, blah, blah. It has not looked like a big win. So either way, Veach spent the money wrong on either Karlaftis or Jones, but the money is spent. So now it's time to get production.
Is now the time where I mentioned that they burned a first-round pick on a Make-A-Wish draft pick? Is now the time where we do that? Because you remember, they spent the first-round pick on somebody who should be helping you on the defensive line. And we were like, oh, well, I mean, he's a redshirt developmental player. Remember we were saying that? Like, it didn't matter the first year. We could just throw the year away. And now they could desperately use a first-round defensive lineman who has developed and grown and turned into those things, and he's hurt. It just feels like something I should note here, that that's also part of this conversation about their defensive line. We'll get to Harrison Butker here coming up in a bit. I'm going to just be real with you guys when it comes to Harrison Butker. I just don't know. I don't know what else to say about Harrison Butker. Like, I feel like I could just leave for like 30 minutes and I could just take everything I said last week and just play it this week. It's the exact same conversation that we had last week to where we are now. Hey, how worried are you about Harrison Butker? Oh, well, you can't be that worried. It's early on in the season. He'll figure it out. He'll turn things around. It's the same conversation we've been having about Harrison Butker. The only thing is time has elapsed. Let me play for you guys some national conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with Chris Canty. He was on First Take earlier today. Here's what he said about the Chiefs.
And right now, a lot of guys on the Kansas City Chiefs are more named than game. This is the latest that they've been below 500 since the 2021 season, and they didn't make the Super Bowl this year. And Jeff Saturday just got done telling you, we judge the Kansas City Chiefs based on their ability to be able to get to and win Super Bowls. So there is a different standard. I am not going to gloss over the things that we're seeing from this Kansas City Chiefs team. I can't gloss over what I saw from Chris Jones at the end of yesterday's game.
It's hard to give
him the benefit of the doubt on a play with the game in the balance, especially when I saw him loaf. I can't even give him the benefit of the doubt on that play because I saw earlier in the second half him allow Trevor Lawrence to run into the end zone on another touchdown in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Those types of plays, that kind of effort from your best player and one of your team leaders is absolutely unacceptable.
Right.
And so you have to wonder at what point does complacency set in with the Kansas City Chiefs? Remember, in the Mahomes era, they've played two more of football than anybody else during that span when you consider those deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to be weighed when it comes to what we can expect from Kansas City for the remainder of the regular season. Now,
that point there at the end, do you think that affects some of the older players on their team? Like the core of this team, not to make excuses, but the core of this team, they're all 30 years old. Mahomes just turned 30. Travis Kelce, mid-30s. Chris Jones, over 30. Harrison Butker just turned 30 years old. They have played more football than everybody else. Now, some of it's injuries. I don't want to discredit that part of this conversation about the injuries part of it. But do you think that that is a legitimate, I don't want to use the term excuse, but it certainly does explain things. I think the worst thing that you can say about a football player or an athlete in general is that you gave up. Especially in football. Like, you were trained to kind of fall on the sword, go out swinging. For the final play of the game, for other former NFL players to say you didn't give effort and gave up on the play, that's the thing. If you get beat, you just get beat. If Chris Jones had just gotten beat, or if he had just got pancaked, you got knocked on your behind, that'd be one thing. Hey, that man was just better than you were. Sometimes that happens. That's why I hate the tone about it was a fluky play. No. They just made a better play than you did. You can't call it a fluky play, and it looks like you gave up on the play, too. You can't do both. You can't watch that film. You can't look at your effort and think that you did everything in that moment to go out there and get it. This is the ball game. This is deciding who wins and loses the game. I hear the defense say all the time about how it's their job to get the ball back to Pat. You did that. Pat took you down the field, got you in touchdown range, scored a touchdown. Pat did exactly what he was supposed to do. Now it's your turn. It's complimentary football. Hey, the offense did what they were supposed to do. We're championship level defense. Let's go close this thing out. This is a defense that has up and down guys who have played one Super Bowls. Last year, they were the fourth-ranked defense in the National Football League. Like, there is a pride, there's a standard, there's an expectation to it. And your best player, I would say two separate times, against good football teams. Jacksonville looks like they're a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. They look to be a good team. Chris Jones has a blown assignment against the Chargers. And in this game, on the most important defensive play, he's not even going at half speed. He's going at 20% speed, 25% speed. It's just unacceptable for your leader. That's the same guy we see on the sideline yelling at other players. Who's yelling at Chris Jones? That's not the standard here. We're a team used to winning divisions and playing in Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. That's not how you do it with that effort. That's the worst criticism I think you can be levied as a professional, someone great at their craft. I don't think you tried. I don't think on the final play, I don't think that Chris Jones is out there giving effort. I don't think he's half-assed going through the motions. I think he's doing the mannequin challenge. I think he is standing and watching in the middle of it while everything chaos is happening around him. Chiefs defense is playing 10 on 11 on the most important play of the game because your star defensive player has his head in the clouds. That's unacceptable behavior. And we would feel that way if it was a lesser defensive player. You got to hold him to that standard too. Not just us. They got to hold him to that standard. It ain't good enough. Let me play for you guys. That was Chris Canty. Let me play for you guys what Craig Carton had to say. Oh, I know he was giggly about this one. You know, he one of the biggest haters.
The refs still tried to give Kansas City the opportunity to win the game on both the Kelce touchdown, which is a blatant pick, cannot be argued against that, and then the non-call on the interference on the Trevor Lawrence interception. And that, it got me to thinking, when you look back on the dynasty that the Chiefs were, and obviously a loss last night, going to 2-3, 0-3 now in one score games. Look, history cannot be rewritten, and I appreciate that, and I understand that. But you cannot find a Super Bowl championship win or winning season for Kansas City where the referees didn't play a role in it. And now that the referees are not just giving the game to Kansas City and calling egregious penalties against the opposition, we have now officially leveled the playing field. And in leveling the playing field, we now recognize while they're still a very good football team and Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback for my money in the NFL, they're human again. They're beatable again. That's a game last night they never would have lost in their quote-unquote heyday. They wouldn't have. That's a game they would have found a way to win, and the officials tried everything they could, in my opinion, to help them secure the W.
The ref talk is just so tired to me, man. It's just so tired to me.
Did he say history is great because we look back and we know the refs gave the Chiefs a dynasty? Was that the point he was trying to convey?
It's just so tired to me.
That was rough.
I just think Jacksonville outplayed the Chiefs yesterday. I think that was it. I mean, I do think there's some questionable calls, but that's the National Football League. I don't think Jacksonville helped or hurt either team. I just think Jacksonville made more plays than Kansas City did yesterday. I don't feel like the playing field has been leveled because of that. If anything, and I think some of it is tied to not having Rashee Rice, like, I think it's a little bit of, I guess, these two things. I do think that the Chiefs are getting other teams' best shot. I also think post-Super Bowl, these other teams feel like you can get Kansas City now. They don't feel unapproachable anymore. Where it used to feel like the Chiefs 100% of the time were going to figure out a way to beat you. I do think that some of the aura, some of the mystique, some of the will always figure it out. I do feel like some of that went out of the window when they got beat the way that they got beat in the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean they can't turn this season around. But I mean, I saw a Jacksonville team that they didn't really look to be in awe of the moment. They looked like they knew they could play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And when they got down 14-0, I didn't see a team that panicked. I didn't see a team that got away from their game plan. I saw a team that felt like, hey, this is a full 60-minute game. I think what you used to see with the Chiefs is teams would kind of panic early on and kind of get out of their game plan and play outside of themselves. I don't think teams do that against Kansas City anymore. I think teams go into these games feeling like they can beat Kansas City. And I think some of that is because of the Chiefs. I think some of that is because of the National Football League. Who's great right now in the league? There's a lot of good teams. I still think the Chiefs are a good team. Who's great right now in the league? Philadelphia seems vulnerable. Kansas City's vulnerable. We just saw the Bills lose on Monday Night Football. Like, all of these teams feel like you can get them if the moment is right. So I don't think you should go into any game feeling like that. The Chiefs shouldn't feel like that against the Lions. The Lions shouldn't feel like that against the Chiefs and around the National Football League. I just think some of that aura, some of that glow that the Chiefs just walked around with for 18 months, I think the Eagles beat it out of them. I want to play one more cut for you guys. Here's Colin Cowherd.
They're a very young team. Andy Reid is going to coach those mistakes out of them. Jacksonville doesn't make mistakes. Falling down on the final winning play, that's just Jacksonville. Fumbling the ball at the one, that's just Jacksonville. So I think you can coach out the 13 penalties or most of them. I think Kansas City's good and getting better. Now, they're losing one-score games. Last year, they were 11-0 in one-score games. But this year, they're a little younger in spots, and they're making mistakes. And I mean, the final play of the game, they had Trevor Lawrence trapped, Jags out of timeouts, and they couldn't make the play. But they averaged 7.6 yards a play, had almost 500 yards. They had a bad pick six from Mahomes. So congrats to Duvall. I love Trevor Lawrence. I thought his throw to Brian Thomas up the right sideline on that final drive was one of the best throws of the year in the NFL. He's always had talent. Fumbles too much, makes too many mistakes, but he's a great kid. I've met him a couple times. I'll always root for him. But this morning, I feel Kansas City's a better team, and I don't care what the score was.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think the Chiefs are better than Jacksonville as well, but the score is the final indicator, and Jacksonville did a great job yesterday. They won the game. Coming up on the other side, there is something that we are going to completely overlook and forget from yesterday's game that we certainly shouldn't. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, let me ask you this. What do you think Jack Cochran's doing today? What do you think he's doing today? Like right now, what do you think Jack Cochran's doing? I really want to know.
I mean, the answer is probably holding.
I'm here to tell you that if Jack if Troy Aikman says Jack Cochran's name multiple times, it ain't good. It ain't good. There's no in the middle with Jack Cochran. It's either he is having an amazing day, like he's going to win Special Teams Player of the Week. If Jack Cochran gets mentioned by Joe Buck, it is either the greatest thing to have happen or the worst thing that could have possibly have happened. And it was one of those things yesterday.
I mean, kudos to Joe Buck for even having his board and sheet have Jack Cochran's name on it, because there's absolutely no reason you should be pointing. His spotter should have never pointed to 43. I bet the average Chiefs fan didn't know who wore 43 as of Sunday.
I'm just saying. I don't think Troy Aikman has called probably 4 or 5 Chiefs games, never talked to Jack Cochran, didn't know who he was. The announcers had to probably, producers had to tell him in his ear who he was. Hey, who's that? Who's that guy over there? So yeah, how can I read this text to you guys really quickly? CDOT, I normally enjoy your show, but today you haven't been cool. Talking so much smack about Chris Jones is terrible. Do you realize at the time of the Lawrence touchdown that Jones had been on the field for over 80% of the plays, constantly being double teamed? He was asked to come out and left out there. I think he was just wiped out. And after all he's done for Kansas City, I think he'd be given the benefit of the doubt. I follow one simple rule on this show. You can disagree with the rule, but the rule is simple. I'm going to hold the players who get paid the most to the highest standard. And it is impossible for you to watch the final defensive play from the Chiefs and look at the effort that you were getting from 95 and tell me that's good enough. It is impossible for you to feel that way. And then when you get asked about it, to then not really take any accountability and then try to diminish what the other team did is corny to me. You want to know how I know it was corny? Because he then instantly deleted his Twitter afterwards. Because I'm sure he was on there getting cooked in the mentions yesterday. Tell me if I've said something wrong about Chris Jones today. The effort is unacceptable on that play. Look like you're trying. Since the game in which he got a sack against the Chargers in week 17 in 2023, he has 7.5 sacks in his last 27 games. 27 games, 7.5 sacks. He has 7 tackles so far this season. Ja'Marr Chase has 5. He had a half tackle in this game. We mentioned this earlier. We got to quit doing this whenever a defensive player's not playing well. They're getting double and triple teamed. Chris Jones ain't playing hard enough to be triple teaming him right now. He ain't playing hard enough to be doing that. That's a poor waste of resources if that's what you're doing right now and trying to slow down Chris Jones. I don't think he's getting double and triple teamed. I don't think the juice is there. I don't think it's there off the edge. I think the film bears that out. So I'm not trying to go at Chris Jones. I can only evaluate what I see. And what I saw yesterday was on their most important defensive play of the day, I saw their best defensive player jogging. He was moving slower than a mall walker at Oak Park on the final play. It's absolutely unacceptable behavior, in my opinion. Unacceptable. That's the definition of holding them accountable. It ain't good enough. I do want to mention this on a very positive note. I don't think people are going to remember this. Like, when we go back when the season is over and we'll talk about things, I don't think we'll spend enough time talking about this. The final drive from Patrick Mahomes was incredible. He was amazing on the final drive. Not the one after the touchdown, the one before that. You know the one I'm talking about. He was amazing. He probably should have been sacked in the middle of the field. He then evades the sack, runs for a first down. The throw that he made to Hollywood Brown on the sideline is just an incredible throw. I mean, there's really one test. There's one test for a quarterback. It's your back is up against the wall. You got to go the length of a field. Your team has to score a touchdown. What's your confidence level in your quarterback to be able to execute that? Same thing with the closer. Bottom of the ninth, it's a one-run game. Do you trust that your closer is going to close this game out and give you a chance to win? We can do all these talking about all these quarterbacks and who you think is the best and who I think is the best. The real test happens. You get 4 or 5 of those a season. The Chiefs were down 24-21 with 8 minutes left in the game, and they got the ball. And the drive starts with a penalty. Another penalty on a special teams play. They got a great return from Nico Remigio. Of course, there's a penalty on that play. Jack Cochran. It's 1st and 10 from the 14-yard line, down 4. You got to put a drive together, and not a field goal drive. You got to put this drive in the end zone. And the Chiefs go 12 plays, 86 yards, 6 minutes and 23 seconds. I mean, surgical. Long run from Mahomes. Big play here. He did everything for the Chiefs on that drive. Again, I know that's not a play. It's not going to go in the Hall of Fame highlight montage of Patrick Mahomes' career. It probably won't be a drive that we talk about 3 weeks from now. It was one of the best drives of the season from any quarterback. An amazing drive. That throw to Hollywood Brown's a big-time throw. Evades the rush, rolls out, put it where only his receiver can get it, gives him more than enough room to get both of his feet down. It was a big-time drive. And I really can't say enough about Trevor Lawrence in this game. And Rob, you know, you've been here with me. I have been very critical of Trevor Lawrence and feeling like he is a creation of beating Alabama. He beat Alabama very early on in his career. We were told that he was supposed to be next up, and we've never really moved off of that. And I think the shine is coming off just a little bit. But on that final drive, you saw why people felt the way that they felt about Trevor Lawrence. That throw to Brian Thomas Jr. on 3rd and 7 is a big-time throw. You know, it's on you. You're not running the football. You got to make a play. That's an incredible throw. It's the best throw I've ever seen him make. And then you score the rushing touchdown. You go down, you get back up, you compose yourself, you score a touchdown. Both quarterbacks in the final 5 minutes of the game both made big-time winning plays to get their team down the field. Jacksonville just happened to have the ball last in this context, and they went down the field and won the game.
I think that drive highlights a bigger point. And by the way, you're right. Mahomes was incredible. The throw to Brown, just incredible. Absolutely. What did the kids say? It was a dot. But, like, that drive and the offense throughout the game was really good. I've spent a lot of time, you've spent a lot of time complaining about the Chiefs' offense this season. The Chiefs' offense is not going to catch any complaints from me from last night. What was the, they averaged 7.6 yards per play? 7.6! Their offense was sensational. And I think that's why fans and people watching that game feel like it's such a gut punch of a loss. That was undoubtedly their best offense performance of the season. Like, I think what they did last night was more impressive than what they did against Baltimore. Because Baltimore's defense is just, it's 0-3 Chiefs abysmal. It's awful. What they did last night was super impressive. And to leave Jacksonville, whatever they call that stadium, Everbank, whatever, with a loss is just, it's got to be beyond frustrating for the team. Because I can feel it from fans today. The text line, we took calls earlier. I think everyone thinks, oh, the offense has turned the corner. And that final Mahomes drive looked like vintage Mahomes. And then you still walk away holding an L. That's a really frustrating feeling. And it's hard to be glass half full today. Look at the offense when the defense let it squirt away at the very end.
Yeah, like this thing here, and I certainly understand why people feel this way. C-Dot, my only issue with the final drive was not taking enough time. I mean, Jacksonville got the ball back down a touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. Like, you're trusting your championship defense, your top five defense. You're expecting them to get off of the field. Harrison Butker kicks the ball out of bounds. That puts the ball at the 40-yard line. That's a tremendous advantage when you get the ball at the 40-yard line. Like, you're thinking in that scenario, bend but don't break. You can give up yards. I don't care about the yards in that context. You can't let them get into the end zone. They got into the end zone. I'm just big on control what you can control. And the offense for the Chiefs on that final drive, they were in control. So score. You got past a two-minute warning. It's not like Jacksonville didn't even have all of their timeouts. They didn't have all of their timeouts. They had to end up taking a delay of game because they only had one timeout. They then, Jacksonville, ran a screen play. It was second and 15. They ran a screen play. They got 2 yards. They then had to call a penalty. At that point, you're thinking end zone the rest of the way. You're thinking end zone. They then get the penalty on Shamari Connor, barbecue chicken alert, and then it was a Trevor Lawrence touchdown. Like, I hear what you're saying about too much time. You feel good. Chiefs defense on the field, less than 2 minutes to go against a team that had one timeout. Just everything that could go wrong went wrong. Your kicker kicks the ball out of bounds. Trevor Lawrence makes a great play. You commit a penalty in the end zone to put the ball on the 1 yard line. You then miss a sack on Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it was too much time. I just don't think the Chiefs executed on defensively or special teams for that final drive. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz's voice of the Chiefs. We'll get his reaction to the loss on Monday night. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.